Okay, so we are up to Daf Yud Aleph in Maseches Tainis. Truth is, that's the Daf we're up to, but we're really up to the middle of Yud Amud Beis. That's 10b. So we're about, I don't know, I'd say 20 lines up from the bottom on Yud Amud Beis. The first word on the line is Al, Aleph Lamed. So if you remember last time, we ended off by saying that Yaakov was giving some advice to his sons, and over here the Gemara picks off with saying that Yosef gives some advice to his brothers. So let's see what the Gemara has to say again about basically in the middle of the page, about 20 lines up from the bottom on Yud Amud Beis. Al tergezu baderech. So Yosef says to his brothers, do not become like agitated on the way. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Amar lehem Yosef lachiv. Yosef was saying to his brothers, Yosef says to his brothers, don't be involved in a davar halacha, in teaching or learning a davar halacha, when you're on the road, lest you become distracted and like you're going to get lost because you're so entrenched in your learning, so you're just going to not know where you are. And so therefore, don't learn a davar halacha when you are traveling. Aini is this, so says the Gemara, Hamar Rabbi Eli bar Barbarachia, Shnei Tamid Chachamim, Shemahalchem Aderech, Vein Benehen Divrei Torah, Ruvi and Lesarif. He says, what are you talking about? We have another teaching that says that if two Tamidi Chachamim, if two Torah scholars were on the way, and while they were going on the way, they don't have any words of Torah between them, then it's fitting that they should be burned up, because it's terrible to not have Torah between them. So what do you mean, Yosef, that they shouldn't have any halacha and no Torah between them? Shenemar, so how do you know you need halacha? How do you know you need Torah between them? Shenemar, v'hi hima holchim when Eliyahu and Elisha were walking, right, the famous scene of the chariot of the fire, the pasuk says explicitly that, when they were walking, they were speaking. They walked, and behold, a fiery chariot and fiery horses appeared and separated between the two of them. So we know very famously that none of them died, right? So these fiery things came before them, but no one died. So why did no one die? Why was no one burned up? Taima de'ika dibor. The reason why no one was burned up was because they were speaking. What were they speaking about? Well, we assume Elisha and Eliyahu are speaking. It must be they're speaking divrei Torah. So that's why they were not burned up, because they were speaking Torah. Haleika dibor. But if they were not speaking, if they were not learning Torah together, ru'i and lisari, if they should, they would be worthy of having been burned up. This fire that came to them, it would have burned them up, would have killed them. So what do we see from here? We see that a person should be learning Torah when they're traveling. Lo kasha, says the Gemara. No, it's not a kasha. Even though Yosef said not to learn Torah, we have another teaching that says you should learn Torah. It's not a contradiction. Halim migras, hali yune. When we're saying that we should be learning Torah, that's when we're talking about going over, like reviewing what we already know, right? Just like a basic overview, like a bekias almost, if you will. But hali yune, when we say you shouldn't learn Torah, that's like going through like an in-depth, like an Ian sugya, like analyzing back and forth. If you're analyzing back and forth and like you're going through like an intense sugya, then it's going to be really hard to actually pay attention to where you are, and you might actually get lost, which is not good. So don't have like an intense Ian Sugya when you're traveling. Just do like a review of something like that, and that's okay. So that's the difference. One, you should do it. When we say you should do it, that means you should like be reviewing. When we say you shouldn't do it, that means you shouldn't be like analyzing and having like an intense sugya of learning. We taught in a brisa, al tefsiu pesia gasa. Don't take like a large step. V'chnisu chamal ir, and you should like gather in the sun into the city. What does that mean exactly? The second statement. It seems like it means that when you go into a city, when you're going in to go to sleep for the night in a city, you should make sure that you're going in while it's still light outside, so that you can gather the sun into the city. You shouldn't be going into the city after dark. That's the idea. Altaf siupsi agasa. There's this first statement that we say you shouldn't take large steps. Damar Mar, we said previously, Psia Gasa, no telas echad me chamesh meos, memore enough shall adam. Why should a person not do this? Because we learned in another place that if a person takes a large step, that one large step will take 1/500th of a person's light from their eyes. So therefore, don't do it. That's how we know you should not be taking large steps. V'chnisu chamal ir, and how do we know that you should go into the city While it's still light outside, when you're traveling on the road, you should go to your lodging place while it's still light. Don't wait till it's dark outside. Because Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, we have another statement of, we have a statement of Rav Yehuda that said in the name of Rav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Le'olam Yitzei Adam B'chitov, a person should always go out, a person should always begin his journey when it's chitov, when it's, when like it's, it could be said that that is good. V'yichanis B'chitov, he should always go in. Come in from his journey when it's bechito, when you could say that it's good. What does it mean that it's good? The idea is that that is good means that it's still light outside, that it's a good time to be going in, is it a good time to be going out? That's the basic idea. Shenemar haboker or haanashim shalchu, we have a statement regarding the brother, Yosef's brothers, that only once the morning light came, that's when the men were sent off, meaning you only go out when it's light outside. So you begin your journey when it's, you leave the city when it's light outside, and you end your journey, you come into the city when it's still light outside. You should never be traveling when it's dark. That's the basic idea. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yechia, Hamahalich Baderech Al Yochal Yoser Mishnei Ravon. So an important teaching seems to be a little bit not as related, but it's about traveling, so that's why they, it seems like it's put over here. So a person who is traveling on the derech, a person who's traveling on the way, should not eat more than he would during years of famine. In other words, so you, during years of famine, you don't eat that much. So when you're traveling on the way, you should not be eating that much. My time, and what's the reason for this? Two reasons. Hacha targimu mishum mayana. One perspective is that here, where it's here, so it seems like it's Babel. Anytime the Gemara says here, it means we're Babel, because that's where the Gemara was written. So here, here they explain that it's because of like a possible disorder of the intestines. If you're going to eat a lot while you're traveling, you're going to get sick. You're going to have intestinal issues, so don't eat a lot. And in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they explain that there's a concern for having food. In other words, if you eat a lot while you're traveling, you're going to run out of food. So don't eat a lot while you're traveling, lest you run out of food. So those are the two reasons. One, there's a concern, they say in Babel, that you're going to get sick. And there's another concern that you will run out of food. That's what they say in Israel. My Benayahu, what's the difference between these two reasons? Reasonings? Is there a difference between the reasonings? Iga Benayahu, there is a difference between the two reasonings. Top of Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, the Yasiv Ba'arva. So we're going to have two different cases. One case we say is when he's Yosef Ba'arva, that when he's he's sitting and he's traveling on a ship. So in that situation, when he's sitting and traveling on a ship, so Rashi says, the top Rashi of the page, Shaholich Basvina Mishum Mezone Ika Mishum Mayana Leika. So when a person's traveling on a ship, so there's only one of these concerns. Is it the concern about food, or is it the concern about getting sick? So if he's not moving at all, if he's just simply sitting on the boat, so there's no concern that he's going to get intestinal problems. But nonetheless, if he's traveling, there's still traveling on a boat on the water somewhere, so there is a concern that he's going to run out of food. So according to the when you have the case of Yasiv Arba, when he's sitting and traveling on a ship, so you will have a concern that you might run out of food, so then you still should not be eating a lot, but you won't have a concern that you're going to get sick, because again, you're not really walking, so it shouldn't cause any intestinal issues. Inami, another potential difference between them. Teka'azil me avna la avna. When a person is going from one merchant's inn to another merchant's inn, what does that mean? So when you go from this one like lodging place to another lodging place, so you know that there's going to be food at point A and at point B. So you never really have to worry about running out of food so much. What do you have to worry about? You have to worry about when you're walking. And when you're walking, you'll still maybe get sick. You'll still maybe have intestinal issues. Therefore, the intestinal issues would be the concern here, and not running out of food. Okay. Rav Papa, kol parso parsa achil chada rifta. Welcome, whoever that is. So again, Rav Papa, kol parso parsa achil chada rifta. Rav Papa seems like at first that he was not following this teaching, because it says that in every single parsa that he would walk, he would eat, like every single parsing that he would walk, he would eat one entire loaf of bread. Why? Kasavar mishum mayana. It seems like he held of the reason of walking and eating a lot will cause intestinal issues. Oh, I just realized my video isn't on. Sorry, guys. Hi. So Rav Papa, it seems clear that he was concerned about intestinal issues, and that's why he was allowed to eat a lot. In general, he says that a person should not eat a lot, and the reason why is because there's a concern for intestinal damage, but he was not. In other words, Rav Papa was not concerned at all about running out of food, clearly because he ate a lot of the food on the way. Now the question is, if Rav Papa was so concerned about intestinal issues, then why was he allowed to eat a lot? Wasn't he telling everyone not to eat a lot? So Rashi explains, we're not going to see it inside, but Rashi, in the first wide line, explains The last wide line, the first skinny line, second skinny line, explains that Rav Papa was a very large fellow. He had a very large beten. He had a big belly. And since he had a big belly, so he could eat a lot and not have to be concerned about having any intestinal issues. And therefore, that's why he was able to eat a lot. But again, if you were a small person, then he would agree that a person should not be eating a lot of food because you might have some digestive issues. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol HaMariv Atzmo B'Shnei Ra'avon Nitzal Mimisa Meshuna. Anyone who starves themselves in the years of famine will save himself from an unusual death. Shenemar Berav Padcha Mimaves. The pasuk says that in famine God has redeemed you from death. Says the Gemara, Mirav Mibayle. What does it mean that in a famine God redeems you from death? Shouldn't be that in a famine God redeems you from the famine? We're talking about salvation. So we never said that you're going to die. We just said there's going to be a famine. So why do we say in a famine God's going to save you from death, and not that God's going to, in a famine, that God's going to save you from a famine? So Mirav Mibayle. That's what it should have said. Ella Hachikamar. This is what the pasuk is trying to teach you, that the reward for a person starving themselves during the years of famine, when we say starving themselves, we don't mean like literally he's not eating anything, it means he's eating very little. So the reward for a person starving themselves during the years of famine is that he's going to be saved from an unusual death. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. Not only should you not really be eating a lot, but Reish Lakish has another opinion. He says it's forbidden for a person to have tashmish amita. A person should not have marital relations during the years of famine. Shenemar, Yosef yileid shnei banim beterem tavo shnas ha-ra'av. That the pasuk says, and to Yosef were born two sons before the year of famine had yet arrived, which seems to mean that he was not having tashmish amita. He was not having relations with his wife during the years of famine, and that's why he didn't have any children then. When did he have relations? Before the famine, and that's when he had his children. Tana chasuchi banim mishamshin mitosein b'shnei rabon. So while we did just say that a person should not be having relations during the years of famine, those who don't have children, those who are lacking children, they are allowed to have marital relations during the years of famine because we want them to be able to have children. Okay, Tano Rabban on the Rabbi Son of the Brisa, Bizmanchi Yisrael Shurin Bitsaru Upirish Echad Mehan. In the years that the Jewish, in the time that the Jewish people are like steeped in pain, there's horrible things going on for the Jewish people, and one guy gets up and he decides, Pirish Echad Mehan, he decides, I don't want to be part of this pain, it's too depressing being in this pain, so he's going to separate from them and he's going to enjoy himself and he's not going to be involved in this pain. But in all of a sudden, two ministering angels, these ministering angels are ones that normally accompany someone, and they're going to place their hands on this guy's head, and they're going to say, Ploni Zeh, this guy, Shapirish Menesibur, that was Porish, that separated himself from the congregation, and did not join in the pain of everyone, Al Yirab in Nechamas Sibur, he's just like he didn't enjoy, just like he didn't partake of the pain of the Sibur, so too he's never going to see the comfort of the Sibur. So it's true, he's enjoying himself now, when everyone else is in pain, he's enjoying himself, but when everyone else is happy, everyone else is finally redeemed and is comforted from this horrible pain, he will not see, he will not enjoy the comfort of that pain. Does that mean he's going to die? Okay, what's going to happen to him? Whatever, he's not going to enjoy the comfort of that pain. He's not going to enjoy the comfort of the Sibur. Tanya Idach, another Raisa, Bizman Shet Sibur Sharei Bitsar Al Yomar Adam another Bryce teaches that in a time that the congregation is steeped in pain, someone shouldn't say to themselves that I'm going to go to my house and I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink and peace be on my soul. It's going to be a great time. Okay, everyone else is in pain, but I'm going to enjoy myself. Thank God I could still enjoy. So why would I be in pain with everyone else? So a person should not say this. Vim osekin, if he does do this, Allah v'kasevom erbatim. The pasuk says, "Yinei sason v'simcha harog boker v'shchot tzon achol basar v'shasu ziyan achol v'shasu ki machar namus." That, and behold, rejoicing and happiness that the people say to each other, slay cattle and slaughter sheep, eat meat and drink wine, eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. In other words, what the pasuk is saying is that the people know that they're going to all be experiencing death tomorrow, but they don't want to partake in the pain of everyone else. Maksiv basre, what does it say after that? V'negle b'aznei Hashem, tzvakos im yichupar ha'avon, hazel lechem ad tamusun. The pasuk says, And your words are revealed to my ears. I, Hashem, master of the legions, I have sworn, surely this iniquity will not be atoned for you until you die. So these people, they're not going to be good news for them. You should not be separating from everyone else and enjoying yourself while everyone else is in pain. So says the Gemara, Ad kan midas beinonim. So far we've been talking about the beinonim. These are like the middle of the road people. So in other words, what makes them middle of the road? Well, they're obviously not tzaddikim, because if they were tzaddikim, they'd be steeped in the pain of the rest of the people. But they're obviously not Rasham as well. What makes them Beinonim? Because they are Machshev. They're saying, as Rashi explains, that they realize that they're afraid of the death that's going to come to them tomorrow, meaning they know that they're just going to be like everyone else and they're going to have a terrible thing happen to them. So that's what the Beinonim are like, that they realize that even though they're going to enjoy now, they are Porish. Nonetheless, they do realize that they will suffer the same fate. Aval b'midas Rasham, regarding Rashaim, Maksiv, what does the Pasuk say? Asu ek chayayin v'nisbas Shechar v'hayah kazeh yom machar. The pasuk says, "Come and I will get wine, and we will become drunk with old wine, and tomorrow shall be like this." The pasuk says that. What does the Rasha say? That the Rasha has such a lack of perspective that he is with the rest of the seaboard. He's going to have the same fate, that he's going to say, "We're going to enjoy, we're going to drink today, and tomorrow we're also going to enjoy and drink today." The Beinoni realizes tomorrow he's going to die like everyone else, but the Rasha says, "Tomorrow I'm going to drink and enjoy just like I am today." Maksiv Basrei. What does it say after that? Hatzadik. Avad ve'in ish sam al leiv ki mibnei hara'a nesaf atzadik. That the righteous man has persisted, and no one takes to heart that because of the evil, the righteous man is gathered to his grave. Okay, Ela Yitzar Adam Im Hatzibur. What's the right way to do things? How should a person be acting? Well, a person should be suffering along with the congregation. Shekhin Masinu B'Moshe Rabbeinu Shesir Asmo Im Hatzibur. And like, just like we found with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was in just as much pain, or he was Mitzayir himself. He was entrenched in the same pain that the rest of the Tzibur had. Shenemar v'idei Moshe kvidim v'yikhu even v'yisimu tachtav v'yashiv aleha. That the pasuk says that regarding Moshe, that Moshe's hands became heavy, and he took a rock, he took a stone, and he put it underneath him, and he sat on it. V'ki lo haya lo the Moshe kar echas o kasas echas l'yashiv aleha. We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu over here, for crying aloud. Moshe Rabbeinu, what, he didn't have like a mattress or like a pillow or something nice to sit on? Why did he have to sit on a rock? It's ridiculous. He's the leader of the Jewish people, the most powerful guy in the world. He was having face-to-face almost conversations with God, so he had to sit on a rock. He couldn't sit on a nice mattress or a pillow. No, Ela Kach Amar Moshe Hovil Yisrael Shruin Betzar Afaniha Eya Imam Betzar. He said that just like the Jewish people are now in pain, I too will be with them in pain. The Kol Metzayir Atzmo Imat Sibur Zoche V'Roa B'Nechemas Asibur. And just like we said earlier, the implication is that anyone who is in pain with the Tzibur, so he will merit to see the comfort of the Tzibur. V'Shema Yomar Adam Mi Meid. And lest the person say. Me may it be. Let's say, lest the person say, who's going to testify against me? Let's say I'm not in pain with the Tzibur. So who's going to say that I wasn't? So that maybe I still should have the right to come after. I will not pay attention to any of the pain. I'll enjoy myself during the times of pain. But when the times of comfort come, then I'll enjoy those as well. So again, who's going to testify against me that I wasn't with them in the times of pain? Says the Gemara, Abnei Beiso Shel Adam, V'Koros Beiso Shel Adam Ameidim Bo, the stones of a person's house and the beams of a person's house are going to testify against the person that he was not with the rest of the Tzibur when they were in pain. Shenemar ki even makir tizak mikir tizak v'chapes me'etz yanena. That for a stone will shout from the wall, and the half brick will answer from the wood. Meaning the house is going to speak out and say, this guy's a bum. He wasn't in pain with everyone else, so don't now give him the reward. Devei Rabbi Shila and the Yeshiva Rabbi Shila Amre, they say shnei malachei asharis hamelaven lo da'am. Them, that the ministering angels that normally accompany a person, they're going to be the ones. These ministering angels are going to be the ones that will testify against this guy that he wasn't in pain with the Tzibur. The pasuk says that he will charge his angels for you. Meaning the angels are going to speak out against this guy. Rabbi Chitko Omer, Rabbi Chitko says, Nishmaso shel Adam hahim ida alav. Okay, so first it was the house, then it was the angels, it was the external things. But now the Gemara says, no, the guy's soul has a conscious, right? It sounds a little weird, but the guy's soul has a conscious, and he's going to be the one, the soul's going to be the one to testify against the guy that he was not doing the right thing. Shenemar, Meshucheves Chaykecha Shmor Pischei Picha, that from that which lies within your bosom, meaning your soul, guard guard the portion of your mouth, guard like the part of your mouth. V'yishomrim, that's so in other words, the Pasuk saying, make sure your soul doesn't see the things you do badly or something like that. V'yishomrim, Evarav Shal Adam Meyidimbo, opinion says that the limbs of a person are going to testify against him that he did the wrong thing. Shenemar atem edi nuam Hashem, that you, what does it mean, you in plural, you, my limbs, you are will be my witnesses, you will be the giving testimony, that is the word of Hashem. El emuna ve'in avel, the Pasuk says, a God of faithfulness without perversion, that's what the Pasuk says. So says the Gemara, what does it mean that God is the God of faithfulness? So just like God, says the Gemara, just like God punished the wicked, will punish the wicked people in the world to come, even for a small avira that they do in this world, so too will God. You can rest assured that God will punish the righteous people in this world for a small avera that they do. What is this getting at? Well, it's a famous idea that we know, that the righteous, usually God likes to punish them in this world, and God likes to punish the rasham in the next world. Why? Because if the righteous are punished in this world, then it's true they suffer here, but they get incredible things in the world to come. If for the wicked people, great, they'll enjoy their lives here, but once they get to the world to come, they're not going to get anything good. And we know that the world to come is much better than this world. So that's the trade-off, and that's the deal that they get. So again, when we say that God is the God of faithfulness, we mean that God's going to punish the wicked people in the next world for even a small thing, and God's going to punish the righteous people in this world for a small avera. Ve'in avel, and the pasuk continues with the words ve'in avel, without perversion. Kishim shemeshalmin schar latzadikim l'olam haba afilu al mitzvah kala she'osin kach meshalmin schar l'rashayim b'olam hazeh afilu al mitzvah kala she'osin. Same idea, but the inverse. That just like God's going to reward the tzadikim in the world to come, even for something small mitzvah they did, so too God will reward the wicked people in this world for a small mitzvah that they do. So they don't have to worry about paying them off in the world to come. Tzadik v'yashar, who the pasuk continues that God is he's upright and he's just. So says the Gemara, the little hay over there switches the text to Milamid Shibishas. So this teaches, what does this pasuk mean? Milamid Shibishas, this teaches that at a time, Petiraso Shal Adam, when a person, when a person goes, he leaves this world and he goes to his eternal home. Kol Masav, again, the text is changed over here. Nifratin, all of his deeds are like delineated. Lefanav, before him. So they appeal with this famous idea. They play like a movie before him of everything that he did. The Omrim Lo, and they say to him, Kach Kach Asisa, B'Makom Ploni, B'Yom Ploni. And they say to him that you did such and such a thing in such and such a place on such and such a day. At that time, right? It's going to be so exact. V'Hu Omer, hey, and he's going to say, yeah. You're right. I did these things. And they're going to say sign, right? Sign the dotted line that says that you agree that you did these terrible things. Or that you did these things. So v'chosim, and he's going to sign. How do you know? Sinemar biyad kol adam yichtum. That the pasuk says that he has it signed by the hand of everyone. Meaning God's going to make sure that everyone's going to sign the contract that says that, yeah, this is true. Everything you said about me, the good and the bad, everything I did, you're right. And he's going to sign about it. V'lo ood, not only that, el shematztik alav esadin. And the person is going to like certify the judgment that he will receive. V'omer lahem yafed dantoni. He's going to say you judged well, like good job judging in this matter. L'kayim mashenemar, to like uphold that which is said. L'man titzdak b'dvarecha, so that you, meaning God, will be confirmed in your words. Amar Shmuel. Okay, so Gemara goes further now. Amar Shmuel kol yoshe b'tainis nikra chuta. So it seems like we're going to switch topics now, talking about the topic of fasting. Is it a good thing to fast? If I want to just wake up one day and accept a fast upon myself for whatever reason, I guess to atone for some sins or whatever it might be. So is it a good thing for a person to get... sort of a bad thing for a person to get up and fast. We're going to have two opinions on this, and we're going to see how they both extend to larger discussions. Amar Shmuel, Kol HaYoshev V'Tanis, Nikra Chote. Any Shesh Shmuel, anyone who decides to fast, to accept upon himself a fast, this guy's called a sinner. Savar, Ki Hai Tana. So he held like this Tana. Which Tana? Tatania Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Berebi Omer. This person says, Ma Tama Lomar V'Chiper Alav Me'asher Dvarim V'chiper alav me'asher chit al nefesh. That which the pasuk says that, and the kohen will make atonement for him for that he sins concerning the soul. Right, v'chiba eze nefesh chataze. And regarding which soul did this person regarding which soul did this person sin that he is now receiving some sort of a atonement for that he needs atonement for hurting a soul? Elisha seer atzmo minayayin, so that he afflicted himself. He afflicted his own soul because he did not give himself wine. So we're talking about a nazir over here. So says the Gemara that Shmuel, who says that a person is a sinner if he accepts upon himself a fast, well, that he holds like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Hakafar Berebi, that this opinion says that that a nazir is basically needs atonement. He is a sinner. A nazir is a sinner and needs atonement because of the fact that he afflicted himself, that he withheld wine from himself, and now. Says the Gemara further, a kavachomer, velo dvarim kavachomer umaze shalot sir atzmo elamina yayin nekrachote hametzar atzmo mikol davar vedavar alachas kama vekama. Just like a person who afflicted themselves, just like the nazir is called the sinner, that he needs atonement because he withheld wine from himself. So for sure, a person who withholds not just wine but all food from himself, of course that guy is called a sinner. So you see from here a proof or a lined up opinion that a person who fasts, who says I'm not going to eat food, that guy is a sinner, because just like a nazir who doesn't drink wine is a sinner, so to a person who doesn't eat at all, of course that guy is going to be called a sinner. Okay, that's the first opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nikra Kadosh. A person who fasts as Rabbi Elazar is called a holy, not he's a sinner, the exact opposite. He's a holy person. Shenemar, Kadosh, Yeh, Gidel, Pera, Sa'ar, Rosho. The Pasuk says that this nazir shall be holy. He shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow long. Umaze shalot sir atzmo ela midavar echad nekra kadosh. Okay, so now says the Gemara, I'll make the following kavachomer. Just like this person only afflicts himself, and that he refuses, he afflicts himself from withholding himself from one thing, right? He doesn't have wine. He afflicts himself from holding one thing, and still he's called Kodesh. Hametzair atzmo mikodavar alachas kama vakama. So to a person who afflicts himself from everything, and that he withholds all foods from himself, for sure he's going to be called holy. In other words, the exact opposite, that a nazir is called holy. Why is he called holy? Because he withholds wine from himself. So too, someone who withholds all food from himself, of course he's going to be considered holy. Okay, so that's the machlokes. Uleshmuel ha'ikre kadosh ahu. So the Gemara wants to know, so Shmuel, who said that the person who fasts is called the sinner, and he gets that from the fact that the nazir is called the sinner because he withholds wine from himself, so that must mean anyone who withholds any food from himself is going to be called the sinner. What does Shmuel do with the fact that the nazir is called kadosh, right? So wouldn't that mean that the guy therefore is doing good by not having wine, and therefore a person does good by not eating at all? So says the Gemara, no, what would Shmuel do with that? Agidol pera kai. It's talking about when we say the guy is kadosh, we're not talking about the guy, it's that the growth of his hair, of the locks of his hair is holy. The guy isn't holy, his hair is holy. But for sure, the guy isn't holy, he's actually a sinner. Rabbi Elazar ha-nikra chute. And what would Rabbi Elazar do? The exact opposite opinion. So what would he do with the fact that the nazir is called a sinner? Says the Gemara, hahu desa'iv nafshe. No, it's not that a regular nazir is a sinner. Rather, we're talking specifically about a nazir who contaminates himself. If a nazir gets in touch, gets in contact with a dead body, then he contaminates himself, and then he's a sinner. But if not, then in general, and you assume a nazir is a kadosh, is a holy person. Okay. Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, says the Gemara, do we really think that Rabbi Elazar holds like this? That Rabbi Elazar holds that a person should be fasting, and such that a person who does fast is called a holy person? Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, does Rabbi Elazar really say this? V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar le'olam yimod adam atzmo. So Rabbi Elazar says always a person should regard himself. Yira alfam and beis kiilu kadosh sharoi besoch meav. Person should always treat himself as if There's like holiness that's like steeped within his intestines. So what in the world does that mean? Take a look at the top Rashi on Amud Beis. Kilu kol me'av kadosh. He has to act like all of his intestines are holy. Va'asar lachishan. So and he can't really hurt them at all. Dehachi mashma bekirbecha kadosh klumar de'asar lesanos. A person who needs to treat his intestines like holy means that a person cannot fast. It's asar to fast because if you have to treat your intestines like they're holy, how dare you withhold any food from them? So shenamar bekirbecha kadosh v'lo avo ba'ir. The pasuk says that in your midst is holy, and I will not enter the city. Right. So in your midst is like a play on words. So like within your intestines, it seems like but your intestines are holy. You can't treat your intestines badly. So again, how do you have such a situation? Such a situation. How could it be that on the one hand, Rabbi Elazar says that a person who fasts is holy, and on the other hand, he says that a person should not fast because a person should act like his intestines are holy, and therefore he should not be fasting because his intestines are holy. So which one is it? Does he say you should fast? Does he say you shouldn't fast? Lo kasha. It's not really a contradiction. Why? Had the matzi letzare letsa urei nafshe had the lo matzi letsure nafshe. One time where he says that in the case where he says that a person should be fasting, it's where he is able to afflict himself. If a person is able to fast, and it's not going to do him harm, but rather it won't really affect him at all, so in that situation, a person should fast, and it's a good thing to fast. You're called holy if you fast, because the fasting still accomplishes something nice. But again, that's only if you're able to do it, then it won't hurt you. But where you can't fast, it's going to hurt you, then you should not be doing it, because then it's going to hurt you, and you don't gain anything if you really come out sick after the whole thing. Okay. Reish Lakish Amar Nikra Chas. So now we have a few other perspectives of a person who fasts. What kind of person are you? So Reish Lakish says that a person who fasts, he's called a chassid, he's called a pious person. Shenamar Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed V'Ocher She'ira V'Gomer. The pasuk says that one who weans his soul from food and drink is a pious man, and one who destroys his flesh is cruel. So okay, so good. So a person is pious if they fast. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hai Bar Bi Rav Diyasef Betanisa. So Rav Sheshes says, if you have a yeshiva student and he fasts, Lechol Kalva L'sheirusei. So a dog should eat his meal. What does that mean exactly, that a dog should eat his meal? It means that this guy, the yeshiva student, has no place fasting. The yeshiva student needs to stay strong so that he can sit and he can learn. And if he decides to fast, then you know what? Let a dog come and eat his meal, because this guy clearly doesn't understand that he needs to be eating. So great, let the wild animals come and eat his food, because this guy just does not get what's going on over here. So again, it's bad for a yeshiva student to fast. The only public fast that they had in Bavel was Tisha B'Av. That's it. The Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Reish Lakish In Tamil Chacham Rashai Leishev Betanis Bimnei Shemem Ma'it Bimaleches Shemayim. Another teaching that a Tamil Chacham is not allowed to fast because it's going to stop him from doing the heavenly work. What do you mean? If you have a Talmud Chacham who decides that he's going to fast and now he's going to become all weak, and this guy normally does all the mitzvahs in the world, every day he's waking up, he's doing a mitzvah from, every minute of the day. So now he's going to fast and he's going to be weak most of the day, so he can't really do as many mitzvahs anymore, so therefore he should not be fasting because that's going to prevent him from doing God's work. Okay, we'll do a little bit more. We're at the two dots in like the first half of the page in Yud Aleph and Beis. Ochlin v'shosin Mishachashecha. So we said that some of the fasts that happened when we were talking in the Mishnah was that he's able to eat at night, and he fasts only during the day then. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Huna, Yachid Shekibal Alav Tanis. If a person accepted upon himself a fast, Afilo Achal V'Shasa Kol Alayla LeMacher Humis Palo Tefilas Tanis. Even though, even if he ate the entire night long, nonetheless, the next day he should daven the prayer of the fasts. So, what does that mean? The prayer of the fast. It seems like we're talking about the Anenu prayer that we say in our Shemona Esrei. So that's the thing that this guy should be saying. Even if he ate the whole night, this guy still says the Anino prayer in the morning when he is fasting. Lan betaniso. So this gets a little bit complicated now what we're talking about. So lan betaniso, if he like retired in his fast, and what that seems to mean over here. Okay, we broke off for a second. Let's just go back. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, we're back. Good. Okay, is my video on? Okay, great. Okay, so where were we? So we just said that a person who accepts upon himself a fast and he eats and drinks at night, then nonetheless, the next day when he's starting his proper fast in the morning, he still says the Anino prayer. Lan betani, so if he retired in his fast, and what it seems like what that means over here is that a person accepted a fast upon himself, he fasted the whole day, and now he's in the nighttime. He's in the nighttime portion of like the night after the fast. So let's take a look at Rashi for a second. So Rashi is about 8 or 9 lines down below from that from the parallel line of Rashi over there. So lan betani, so ba'oso tainis shekibel alav. So he's like done with the fast that he had accepted upon himself. Shol achal b'motzei tani, so that he is not now eating after the fast, right? It's motzei the fast. It's after the fast, and he's not eating. But lan kol osro laila l'shem tanis adaboker. Now he's going to fast the entire night. He's going to fast the entire night. Sort of like it seems like he's trying to connect it to the previous fast. So let's say this guy fasts the entire night. Einu mispalel shel tanis. So he doesn't daven he doesn't say the aninu prayer. So what does this mean over here? So again, so let's review. So we said that a person who accepts upon himself a fast and he eats the whole night, and then in the morning he's starting his proper fast, he does say aninu. Let's say the guy fasted an entire day, and then after that day comes the nighttime, and in the nighttime he fasts again. Now the morning comes, this guy has not eaten anything, still aninu mispalel shel tanis. He's still in his chakras prayer, he doesn't say aninu. And the reason why this is mentioned over here is because it's almost a little bit illogical. The guy in the first case ate the whole night. He's totally stuffed. And now in the morning he's saying, oh, I'm going to fast now. I accepted this fast yesterday, so now I'm going to start fasting. And now he's going to say aninu. It's a little weird that he's saying aninu because he's not even hungry. Hello, right? Does he have to say aninu? Nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. He says aninu. The other case, he's starving. He hasn't eaten in like 24 hours. He hasn't eaten since the, not last night, but the night before that. Because he didn't even eat last night, even the fast was technically over. So says the Gemara that in such a situation, even though he's starving, he technically still is fasting, still this guy does not get to say the prayer of Nenu, even though he fasted the whole night previously to this. Okay. So again, yeah, Lan Betani, so he retired his fast and he's still fasting at night. Enum is Palos Sultanas. He doesn't say the Anenu prayer in the morning. Amar Rav Yosef Maikas of Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef says, what in the world is Rav Huna thinking? Why does he not say Aninu in the morning? Svirale ein mesanan l'shaos odim mesanan l'shaos v'his hamesanan l'shaos einu mespalel tefilas tanis. So there are two possibilities, says Rav Yosef. Does he hold that we don't fast for a few hours, meaning that like a fast of a few hours is meaningless, so therefore that should not be counting as anything, or, and therefore that's why he doesn't get to say Aninu, or maybe he says no, that we do believe in fasts for a few hours, it is such a thing, but nonetheless, a person who fasts for a few hours, even though we consider it a real fast, still, this guy does not say Aninu. Amar Le'a Ba'ili Olam Kasava Rav Huna Mis'anan L'Shaos V'Amis'anan L'Shaos Mis'palot V'Yos Tanis. So says Abai, really we do hold, really Rav Huna does hold that that a person could fast for a few hours, and that is considered a fast, and that this type of person does say Aninu in their prayer, v'shani hacha, but it's different over here, d'ika shaos d'leilya d'lo kibel alea mi'ikara. It's different over here because these hours of the night that he was fasting, he never accepted them upon himself previously. He just all of a sudden decided to accept them upon himself in the spur of the moment, meaning the fast ended, the fast that he accepted upon himself ended, and now he was in the night time. He was like, you know what, okay, I guess I'll fast the night also. So since it was like an prompt to fast, so that's why he doesn't say the Aninu prayer, because it wasn't something that he accepted upon himself previously. If he had accepted it upon himself previously, then according to Rav Huna, he would have said the Aninu prayer for this. Okay, so we'll stop right there. That brings us towards the end of Yud Alf and the Beis of Yud Alf. God willing, next time we'll get to Yud Beis, but for now, we'll stop right here.